current state of the economy has certainly changed what had been long relied on in a variety of ways, as more people have come, well, let's call it more price-aware and focused. Many traditional routes to the goal of saving money have changed. Vehicle shopping. Take that as an example. If you wanted or you needed a vehicle and wanted to save some money, you would, right, look for a used or, as they like to say, pre-owned vehicle. You'd get the vehicle you wanted, save some money at the same time. As my next guest is here to point out, that is not always going to be true today. Now, why is this happening and how can you as a consumer watch out for this? Here to explain is the co-founder of CarEdge, Ray Shefska. How are you today, Ray?
I am well, Chris. Glad to be back with you. And everything you just said there is 100% true.
And there were multiple reasons why this is happening, as Ray's going to explain. CarEdge.com, learn more about how you could raise your vehicle shopping awareness and just be a better consumer when it comes to vehicles. CarEdge.com, we have that link over at our website. Did some searching around on Carvana and CarMax. You could also include in this, but I just stuck with Carvana. 2025 Toyota RAV4 XLE Premium. The original MSRP was $37,000. I saw it on Carvana for $40,000. A 2021 Jeep Wrangler, the original MSRP, $50,245. They had it listed for $57,590. What's going on here, Ray?
This just indicates that there's a shortage of quality used cars out there. And the reason for that is, if you remember back to COVID, there was a chip shortage that the manufacturers needed for the cars that they were building. And the result of that chip shortage is there were 10 to 15 million new cars globally that were scheduled to have been built that were never built. And since they were never built, they were never sold, so there were never trade-ins on those cars. And hence, we have a shortage of used car availability. I believe at the beginning of May, there was 1.95 million used cars in inventory, which is a 7 or 8 year low for this time of year.
And in a way, you could look at the several reasons for the economy. People are holding on to their cars longer because they can't or don't want to invest in a new vehicle. I just saw a report that Americans now owe $1.68 trillion for auto loans, and a growing number of those outstanding loans are more than 60 days behind. But that, in a way, can explain for a lack of inventory, too, because not in doing an indictment of car dealers, either Carvana, CarMax, or the local car dealership, but for them to exist, they need inventory.
Absolutely. And, you know, what we've seen is longer terms in order to make payments seem more affordable for people. But, for instance, that Toyota you talked about. Well, Toyota's in very, very short supply. They have a huge demand and a limited amount of supply. And so if someone's looking for a used RAV4 that's, say, 1 year old, they can't find it at a reasonable price. But they are willing to spend extra to get it because they can't buy a comparable new one because they're all pre-sold. So there's that fear of missing out, and when there's that fear of missing out, people tend to pay more for things than they should, unfortunately.
And from personal experience, you can't kill a Toyota. They last forever.
Exactly. And that's why people are willing to pay more than they should.
Is this a, you know, turn it around, it's a wait for those looking to buy. But if you are a vehicle owner and looking to sell, this sounds like an opportune time.
Well, if you have an extra used car that you don't need, yes, you can get top dollar for it today. Dealerships are clamoring for good quality used cars, and they'll pay the moon and the stars to get them at the moment.
No doubt about that. So as a consumer, what information is available so that you have at least an idea that, okay, I really want or I really need vehicle A, but how much more am I going to wind up paying for versus what it should be?
Well, there's enough information available on the Internet today to be able to look at various markets. Your market where you live, there might be a greater demand for that Toyota where you are, as opposed to, say, I don't know, St. Louis, Missouri. So maybe instead of shopping in North Jersey, you need to shop in Missouri, and where you can work out and have the vehicle shipped to you. You have to look at the pockets in the country where things aren't selling quite as rapidly as they are where you might be.
Talking with Ray Scheffler, co-founder of CarEdge, CarEdge.com, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Mentioned financing before. That's something you have to consider really seriously. If you're going to pay more, you're going to finance more, how flexible is that financing these days? Does it depend on make and model to make a model, dealer to dealer, or is it, again, a seller's market more than a buyer's market?
Well, once again, it's more of a seller's market, but the sad reality is 85% of all car buyers are what's referred to in the industry as payment buyers. All they're focused on is what their monthly payment is. They have no idea what they're actually paying for the vehicle. And that's the mistake that's made. You need to understand what your monthly budget allows you to look at as far as a total price of a vehicle and not just concentrate on that payment. And the reason I say that is dealers will keep extending the length of the loan in order to make you feel as if you have a comfortable payment. 72 months, 84 months, 96-month loans are becoming more popular today. And, well, the sad reality is you're paying an extra $5,000, $6,000, maybe $10,000 in interest in order to have what appears to be an affordable payment.
In a lot of cases, too, again, this is going to depend on insurance companies, but the more you pay for a vehicle, the more it's determined to have a value, the more insurance is going to cost you.
Well, that you also need to make sure that you have guaranteed asset protection or gap coverage, because if, God forbid, you total that vehicle, your insurance company, your primary insurance company, will only pay you what its wholesale value is, and then you need a secondary insurance to cover the gap between what that value is and what you still owe. The average amount of negative equity on a trade-in today, Chris, is $7,138.
Yes, I mean, with a rare exception, buying a vehicle is not an investment. It's like the old axiom goes, as soon as it rolls off the lot, your depreciation clock has started.
Oh, absolutely. I always told people when I was selling cars, and they said to me, well, you know, this is an investment. It is not an investment. It's an expense. If I was your stockbroker and I called you up and I said, Chris, give me $50,000 a day and I'll show you how to turn that into $25,000 in 3 years, I don't think you'd look at that as a good investment. And that is what a car is.
As a result of all this, is this in turn going to, or maybe it has already, increased interest in buying new because you can actually save money buying new? Or even is leasing going to become more of a go-to for a lot of people?
Well, I think a lot of the manufacturers are going to look at the situation and realize that sticking customers into 72, 84, 96-month loans ultimately is bad for business in the long term because those people can't get back into the market for 5 or 6 or 7 years. If we continue to sell payments, and most people are payment shoppers, then leasing could and does make more sense for most people, where they can end up with a lower payment for a 36-month term, and they can be looking at getting a new car every 3 years. The difference is you have to accept the premise that you're always going to have a car payment, and if that premise holds true for you, then leasing does make the most sense.
As I mentioned, I'll repeat these numbers again. Americans now owe $1.68 trillion for auto loans, with a record number of those more than 60 days behind. So as far as economy and business security goes, those aren't positive numbers in any way, shape, or form. Talk about CarEdge and what you make available to make the car consumer a lot more wiser and informed.
Well, you know, we offer videos and we have guides and blogs that really help level the playing field for customers when it comes to navigating the car buying process. We believe entirely in transparency, and we're doing our best to convince more dealers out there that they should operate in a transparent manner.
So as you go shopping for a vehicle, don't let these ideas deter you because a need is still going to be a need. Ask questions, ask for clarity, and look for the best opportunity. Don't go to local because it might not always be the best. Look around, shop around, and it's, again, it's an old saying, but it's old because it's true. Buyer beware. Find out more about CarEdge at CarEdge.com. He is their co-founder, Ray Shefska. Ray, thanks for the enlightenment explanation for what's happening and giving people a better direction on how to respond to it. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. Always a pleasure.